First Baptist Church of Redmond, February 26, 2012. Guest speaker, Dr. Tom Hoyle. Dem Dry Bones.
If you would turn with us to our opening scripture, Isaiah 58 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11. In the past, we talked about the miracle of the human body and how it must have been created. And as you might recall, the human body has 12 bioelectrical chemical systems, like our nervous system, our circulatory system, or my personal favorite, the digestive system. 12 different systems. How many of these systems has man been able to artificially duplicate from scratch in the laboratory? Anybody? None. That's right. Zip, zero, zilch, nada. If we can't duplicate any of these systems on purpose in the laboratory, I don't think they evolved by accident in nature. And that brings us to a very important system. Some people think it's our most important system. It's our skeletal system. And to help illustrate that, we have a guest with us here today. His name is Ezekiel. Now, ladies, I do assure you, this Ezekiel is plastic. I do have one that is real, but he tends to sort of scare the little girls. So we have a replica Ezekiel with us here today. Some of you were laughing at Ezekiel when I brought him in. Let me tell you something. Ezekiel may have no guts, but he has a lot of backbone. And he comes in really handy when I want to drive in a carpool lane. In fact, remember a few years ago, as some of you know, I've been in the Air Force Reserve now for 30 years, and a number of years ago, I was asked to talk about the miracle of the human body at McChord Air Force Base, and I couldn't resist. Had Ezekiel propped up in the passenger seat. I stopped at the gate. I showed the guard my identification, and the guard said, "I don't think I need to see his identification. He doesn't look like much of a threat." But anyway, folks, I was asked where I got Ezekiel. He's all that's left of the last person that pastor caught not tithing. So, no pressure, okay? No pressure. But at any rate, folks, Ezekiel will help us to illustrate a number of observations. It's what's inside that counts, right? Almost like the police, the purpose of our skeletal system, exemplified by Ezekiel, it is to protect and serve. Our skeletal system, it's our hardest, strongest system. It's our longest-lasting system. And some say it is our most important system. Some of you might be wondering, why am I in church about to hear this geek speak about bones and our skeletal system? Well, number one, guess what? The Bible says a lot about bones. It says a lot about skeletons and parts of skeletons, right? Number two, we'll see how once again, based upon what we're looking at here today, we must have been created. There is no way, folks, we could have evolved, especially our skeletal system. And then finally, we'll learn some valuable spiritual lessons along the way as we look at Ezekiel, as we look at the wonder of our skeletal system. So, should we bone up on our skeletal system and see that it is a bona fide miracle of creation? Indeed, in general, our human skeletal system has 206 bones of six different types with four different types of joints. Pound for pound, the human skeletal system, it is marvelous. It supports five times its own weight. And before we go on, we should look at our opening scripture. In Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11, we read, "And the Lord God shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Well, to begin, folks, we should start at the very bottom, shouldn't we? And when it comes to our skeletal system, the bottom would be our feet. Let's face it, folks, feet aren't real glamorous, are they? If you go to the dentist office, you pick up a magazine like People Magazine, you'll see photographs of people's faces, photographs of people's bodies, photographs of people's hands, photographs of people's torsos. You're not going to see too many photographs of people's feet, are you? They're just not really considered all that lovely. But you know what? A while back, I was talking to a podiatrist, a foot doctor, about feet. And he said, are you kidding? He said, the human foot is magnificent. Now, when was the last time you heard the feet described in that way? He said, the human foot is a marvel of engineering design. He said, the human foot has 26 different bones, as well as, of course, muscles and ligaments and tendons and nerves, arteries, veins, capillaries, and all the rest. He said, the human foot is so well designed, it can sustain 2,000 pounds of stress. 1 ton of stress, folks. And he indicated man has been unable to duplicate the human foot. We cannot do better than the original equipment that's made by God. Well, as for God's word, the Bible does say a lot about feet, doesn't it? For one thing, regarding temptation. A while back, I was talking to a college student who was troubled with temptation, which is a famous common problem for all believers, right? Especially in college. And I asked her, I said, what do you think the Bible recommends about how to fight temptation? And she said very logically, she said, well, I guess we just have to really try real hard to defeat temptation and maybe pray real hard and just try not to do anything bad. And I said, well, those are good sentiments. But the Bible has an easier way to fight temptation. The Bible says, use your feet. All right? That's right. I'm reminded of those words of the famous philosopher, Clint Eastwood. He said, a man has got to know his limitations. All right? And so it is, folks. All of us here have shortcomings. All of us here have weaknesses, right? And when it comes to temptations, we are to flee from them, right? We are to flee the mere appearance of evil, right? For example, in 1 Corinthians 6:18, we're to flee fornication. Or in 1 Corinthians 10:14, we're to flee idolatry. And somebody might say, wait a minute, I don't have a problem with idolatry. Folks, almost everybody has a problem with idolatry. We have things in our lives that take up too much time and too much money in our lives. Things that get in the way of the Lord. I know a very fine Christian pastor, terrific man of God. If you told him that he was an idolater, he'd be offended. But folks, he spends every waking moment working on his MG sports car in his garage. That car has become his idol, hasn't it? And all of us here need to avoid something similar. Indeed, in the average American household, we have an idol in the front room. It's called the television set. We spend staggering amounts of time in front of the television set, don't we? Mesmerized by this particular idol. In 1 Timothy 6:11, we are to flee the love of money, which, of course, is a big problem for many of us, isn't it? In 2 Timothy 2:22, we are to flee youthful lusts. Or perhaps I'll just go ahead and be upfront with you. I have a significant weakness, a shortcoming, a temptation. It's chocolate. I love chocolate. My name is Tom, and I am a chocoholic. How many here are fellow chocoholics? Quite a number of you. I can appreciate that. If you go to a mall, and you see a See's candy store, and you are a chocoholic, should you go into that store? No! You are to flee the mere appearance of evil. You do not go into that store. You do not start staring at those bonbons. You don't start sniffing that milk chocolate, do you? You walk away, right? Seriously. If we're going to fight the battle of the bulge, we've got to flee from chocolate if you're a chocoholic, as at that See's candy store, right? Well, before we get in trouble, we could go on and on and on, but for the sake of time, we better move up in life, folks. And we now come to legs. Time to get a leg up on things, if you will. All right? And we come to our knees. Our knees are our biggest, most complicated joints. The human knee is full of synovial fluid. It's a lubricating liquid. It's a special type of liquid. And it's full of thousands of tiny little bubbles. Why do we have bubbles inside our knees? They serve as ball bearings. Now, is that ingenious or what? Who decided to put the lubricating liquid in our knees full of thousands of little bubbles? It didn't just happen, did it, folks? Orthopedic specialists have told me that only now has man been able to create an artificial knee as good as the original equipment. So after a great deal of time and money and effort, we're finally catching up with God, aren't we? Obviously, our knees didn't just happen any more than our feet just happened. They're way too complicated, aren't they now? Well, the Bible, as you know, says a lot about knees, doesn't it? And for one thing, it talks about using your knees for prayer. Daniel, we're told, prayed three times a day on his knees before God. And I think that's a pretty good thing. Indeed, and I hope nobody misunderstands me, but one time when I was on Air Force Reserve duty, I was sent on an inspection tour of Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, and I dealt with the detainees that were there. And there was one interesting observation that some of these folks had. And this is the fact that they bragged about the fact that they dropped on their knees five times a day to pray to their God, Allah. And you know what, folks? That's not a bad idea. I mean, we can pray anywhere, can't we? We can pray standing up, sitting down, lying down, right? The Bible tells us to pray continually. But folks, God is God, isn't he? In many churches I've been in, I've been able to be in over 500 churches over the years, for many people, God is a heavenly buddy. He's our heavenly pal. Folks, he's God. Okay, right? The sovereign of the universe, the maker of all things, all right? He's a little bit more than just our pal. And maybe it wouldn't hurt us once in a while to get on our knees like Daniel did and pray to the God of this universe, right? And show him the reverence that is his due. But again, before I get in trouble, better keep moving on here, folks, as we look at the miracle of our skeletal system. And we come to our femurs, our thigh bones. They're miracles, too. We are told, folks, that inch for inch, pound for pound, the human thigh bone can sustain 1,200 pounds of pressure per square inch. We're told that our femurs, our thigh bones, are twice as strong as carbon steel. They're more flexible than carbon steel. And on top of that, they're self-healing. Indeed, here we have a steel pipe. If this pipe is broken, we're in trouble, aren't we? If you break your femur thigh bone, it will mend itself automatically. Isn't that great? On top of that, your femur or thigh bone is technically an organ in the human body because it produces a great deal of our blood. What does a steel pipe make? Rust. So our femurs or thigh bones, folks, they are miracles of creation. They not only help to support us, they also are organs that create life-giving blood cells. A lot more can be said about our femurs or thigh bones, but I think of that famous 1970s TV series, The $6 Million Man. How many of you lovely ladies, may I ask, be honest, God is watching you, had a crush on Colonel Steve Austin in The $6 Million Man? Okay? A couple of you raising your hands very reluctantly. I can appreciate your honesty. The rest of you, God knows your hearts. At any rate, folks, you ever watch that series? At the beginning of the show, Oscar Goldman says, "Gentlemen, we will make him better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster." And he supposedly could run 60 miles an hour because he had these artificial legs, he had these artificial thigh bones that could make him run that fast. It was science fiction then, it's science fiction today, isn't it? We're not even close to creating a bionic individual, folks, are we? We are just too fearfully and wonderfully made, including our legs, including our thigh bones, folks. But, again, for the sake of time, there are too many cool things to talk about here today, so we better move on. It's time to straighten up. May I ask how many here If you were like me, your mother was forever telling you as you were growing up, straighten up. How many here were told that by your mother? Straighten up, sit up straight, stand up straight, right? Good advice, spiritually as well, isn't it? We come to our backbone, folks. It's a miracle of creation, too. 26 different bones in our backbone, 26 different vertebrae. Now, what's remarkable about this, among other things, we don't have a backbone singular, do we? It is made up of bones plural, because our backbone flexes, doesn't it? If it didn't flex, wow, we'd be in a world of hurt. Athletics would be far, far more difficult, wouldn't it? We wouldn't be nearly as flexible overall as we are. On top of that, as you might know, our backbone is actually in a double S configuration. Why is that? Doctors tell us your backbone is basically a great big shock absorber. If it were straight up and down, we'd be in bad trouble if we tried to jump any distance. We'd be shattering and rupturing our discs and our vertebrae. Instead, we have a built-in shock absorber, folks. God knew what he was doing when he made us, didn't he? Well, as for our backbones, we were reminded that spiritually, we should have good spiritual posture. In fact, if you would turn with us to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 17, in Proverbs 16, verse 17, we're reminded of good spiritual posture in that the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. But before we go on, I need to make an observation regarding the creation versus evolution controversy. As amazing as our bodies are, as amazing as our skeletal system is, as amazing as our backbones are, most of my evolutionary friends, and we might have some with us here today, they try to use our backbones to prove evolution. A while back, I was listening to Richard Leakey speak in Olympia. He's the world's top expert on human evolution. He's a paleoanthropologist. And he was asked during questions and answers, what was the biggest difference between human beings and apes? Do you know what he said? Upright posture. Can you believe that? Do you think that's the biggest difference between human beings and apes? You don't think our brains are just a little bit different? You don't think our souls are just a little bit different in that we have souls and apes don't? No, folks, we're very, very different from apes. I'm sorry, but with all due respect, no chimpanzee ever wrote a book. No chimpanzee ever read a book. No chimpanzee ever designed a skyscraper. No chimpanzee ever painted a great work of art or sculpted a beautiful statue. No chimpanzee ever built a rocket and flew to the moon. And no chimpanzee has an eternal soul and was created in the image of God. I would say there are tons of differences between us and chimpanzees, wouldn't you? Not just upright posture. But nevertheless, my evolutionary friends claim that we've got a tailbone at the end of our vertebrae, a leftover tail stump. No, folks. Professors of anatomy and physiology tell us that your coccyx or tailbone, it is important. It's not a vestigial organ. Indeed, doctors are reluctant to move your coccyx or tailbone. It mounts, it foundations pelvic tissues and a nerve ganglion. One doctor facetiously told me that if your coccyx were improperly removed, your bowels would sag. I don't know about you, but I'm rather attached to my bowels. Thank you very much. We do need everything we've got. In fact, my evolutionary friends used to claim the human body is full of 200 different things that we don't need now, but we once did need when we were evolving from primitive creatures. The list, folks, has dropped from 200 to 8. And if I were a betting man, I would bet you money they'll discover uses for those 8 remaining items. We need everything we've got, right? Once again, God knew what he was doing when he put us together. Don't you think it is arrogant for a person to say that a body part is useless just because we're not smart enough to know what it does yet? Truly, we are talking about miracles of creation. But again, for the sake of time, got to keep moving here, folks. It's time to arm ourselves. We turn to our arms, which are almost as amazing as our legs. Doctors tell us, for example, folks, that the human arm has, ounce for ounce, 4 times the strength of reinforced concrete. They tell us our arms are remarkable in that, unlike our legs, you can pivot your arm 180 degrees. You can't do that with your legs, folks, can you? Please don't try. They weren't designed to do what the arms can do, can they? Arms in the Bible symbolize strength. 2 different types of strength. First of all, human strength, especially human spiritual strength. And all of us here can be spiritually strong, as long as we have a good spiritual diet, involving the milk and meat of the Word of God. But arms in the Bible also symbolize the Lord's strength. In Jeremiah 32, verse 17, for example, we have a reminder of this. In Jeremiah 32, and verse 17, we note, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." But at the end of our arms, folks, we've got our hands, don't we? It is now time to get handy and talk about another miracle of creation. You ever look at a little baby, and they'll spend hours looking at your hands? Isn't that cute? They'll make all kinds of shapes with these little things they've got. All right? They find their hands to be absolutely fascinating. And you know what? They're right. Our hands are fascinating. We take them for granted, folks. But the fact is, the human hand has 27 bones in it. It's got 35 different muscles, capable of 58 different motions. Man, that's right, has been unable to create an artificial hand as complicated as the human hand. I went to a Binus exhibit in Columbus, Ohio a while back, and they had the latest artificial hand on display. They were very proud of this thing. Folks, it was a big, ugly, inflexible clunker of a thing. And my first thought was, that's the best we can do? That's the best man's got? We're light years away from creating a human hand as good as the original equipment. Indeed, Sir Isaac Newton one time was asked by a skeptic what was the number one reason why he believed in God. And you know what he said? The hand, in particular, the thumb. There's no creature on earth, including the chimpanzee, that has a thumb like the human thumb. It's one of the many things that makes us very different from any creature on earth. And Sir Isaac Newton said, in particular, "In the absence of any other proof, my thumb alone would convince me of God's existence." So the next time you see a hitchhiker on a highway, he will be exercising Newton's chief proof for the existence of God. The next time you're witnessing to somebody, you can share with that person a built-in illustration. Everybody here's got thumbs, right? And you carry them everywhere with you, right? So that means anywhere you go, you have got a great illustration regarding the handiwork of God, the existence of God, according to Sir Isaac Newton. Well, we talked about the $6 million man, this bionic man, Steve Austin, right? We now come to the ladies. Specifically, the bionic woman. How many of you guys, and I'm guilty of this, how many of you guys in the late 70s, this is before I was married, how many of you guys had a crush on Lindsay Wagner, the bionic woman? Okay, a couple of you guys are nodding your heads. Okay, God knows who you are. If you recall, at the beginning of the show, Lindsay Wagner, the bionic woman, she's got these bionic hands, right? And she crushes a tennis ball. Like it was an eggshell, all right? Once again, folks, science fiction then, science fiction today. We're not even close to creating anything like that because, once again, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. On a spiritual note, before we move on, Which should make the comment, though, in Ecclesiastes 9:10, we are told, spiritually speaking, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Moving up, folks, again for the sake of time, we have reached the top. We come to the human head. It's time to get ahead here, folks. The skull inside our head, it's remarkable too, isn't it? We don't have a skull bone, do we? We have 22 bones in our skull. And 8 of these are in our cranium. We have 8 cranial plates. And this is a very good thing. If we had one solid skull bone, that would be very bad for several reasons. But the fact of the matter is, as you might already know, when we're first born, these 8 cranial plates are flexing back and forth. And as we are born, they flex inward so that the mother can give birth easier. If that baby had a solid skull bone, you ladies would have a much, much tougher time getting birth, as if it weren't already tough. God knew what he was doing, didn't he, when he put us together? And of course, these cranial plates with time, they do slowly get into position and they slightly fuse together. And again, it's a good thing we don't have a completely solid skull bone because it wouldn't flex at all. Our skull would ring like a bell if we were struck by an object, for example. Indeed, the next time somebody says you're cracked, that person's actually right. We have cracks in our skulls, known as sutures, cracks or joints between these cranial plates. So much more could be said about our remarkable skulls, our remarkable heads. And unfortunately, though, in evolutionary circles, this is where the main battleground is. In evolutionary circles, they try to use skulls to prove their point. And young people will go to school and will be taught as a fact that we did come from unknown primitive ape-like creatures similar to chimpanzees. As you might recall, several years ago, we brought 15 human and ape skulls with us, and we discovered something. There's no such thing as an ape-man skull, is there? There's never been an ape-man. There's never been an ape-woman, except maybe for Tarzan and Jane. They're the only ones I know of, okay, folks? No others. Everything reproduces after its own kind. And once again, you and I were created in the image of God. If you're with us several years ago, you might recall that the so-called ape-man skulls they find, especially among the Australopithecines folks, they turn out to be usually either mistakes or extinct apes. Many creatures have gone extinct, right? Why not apes? The trouble is, you don't get famous finding extinct apes, do you? You do get famous if you find an odd-looking skull and turn it into an ape-man skull. In fact, I was stunned. One time I was listening to Richard Leakey speak. I personally heard him say he's never actually found anything to prove human evolution. And he's the world's top expert on paleoanthropology. On British radio, he was interviewed one time. And he was asked to somehow explain over the radio for people to understand how we evolved. He said, not a problem. The world's top expert on human evolution said his chart to explain human origins would look like a giant question mark. And he's the world's top authority. In America, Dr. Donald Johanson, he's the top expert on human evolution here in our country. And folks, I personally heard him say that he and his colleagues argue so much about human evolution, they argue so much about ape men and ape women, that they almost resort to fist fights. And he's the country's top expert. One time I heard Dr. Johanson speak, and he had 4 different charts depicting human evolution during his program, during Q&A. I said, Dr. Johanson, I'm not being difficult, I'm being curious. He had 4 different depictions of human evolution that paleoanthropologists are arguing about. Which of those 4 do you believe in? Do you know what he said? None of them. America's top expert on human evolution said his explanation for human evolution this year might be completely different next year. So he refuses to commit to anything. That reminds me, each time I go to Washington, D.C., either for reserve duty or for speaking trips, I almost always visit the Smithsonian. And I almost always visit the Human Evolution exhibit. Each time I'm there, folks, the exhibit on human evolution is completely different. They just redid it. I was there last year, brand new exhibit on human evolution, featuring so-called skull reproductions, depicting so-called ape men. It was completely different from the last one I saw. It cost $17 million. And you know what? They'll change it again in a few years. They cannot prove human evolution, folks. They look at the evidence, and the evidence too frequently turns out to be either in the nature of a hoax, or usually, in most instances, it turns out to be misidentifications and misconstructions. We either have human skulls being found or ape skulls or variations of those two. There's nothing in between, no ape men, no ape women. In fact, some of you might recall, I have the dubious distinction of having a very odd skull myself. I have a size extra, extra, extra large head. I am triple X. I have a fat head. All four times when I graduate from college, they had to special order my graduation cap. I mentioned I'm in the Air Force Reserve. When the Air Force came out with a battle dress uniform, they said I had to get a set. I already knew what was going to happen, and it did. The United States Air Force did not have a cap big enough to fit my fat head. At McCord Air Force Base, when I was assigned there, another lieutenant colonel and I, we both had to have our heads custom measured at the uniform store, and the measurements were sent to the factory and caps were sewn just for us. We're special. One time I was speaking in England, and during some spare time, we went to Harrods department store. Harrods claims that they can fit anybody. Not so. We looked and looked and looked. Finally, a clerk looked and looked and looked. Didn't come close. They couldn't find a single hat to fit my head. The clerk said that I was obviously representative of colonial ancestry. That was his way of insulting Americans. But in that illustration, I took an x-ray of my skull one time, showed it to a doctor I met, very nice man, an evolutionist, because that's all he'd ever been taught. He was stunned when he saw my x-ray. He said, "Where did you get this x-ray? Look at the size of this monster." He went on and on and on and said, "This is obviously an x-ray of a very primitive, backward, retarded individual." I told him where it came from. You never saw three brighter shades of red. My skull is extremely similar to the skull of a Cro-Magnon man, caveman. There were no ape men, but there were cavemen, men and women who lived in caves. Many still do that today. For example, in Turkey, in the Philippines, in Mexico. I can see why, considering property taxes. So there have been cavemen, no ape men, no ape women. Because again, we were created in the image of God. But we do need to start wrapping things up here. Some of you want to go home and eat. Some of you are thinking, "Let my people go." If you would turn with us to our concluding scripture here this morning, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, please. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, we read, "For by him, the Lord Jesus Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. As we close here today, we believe, folks, it is obvious that we were made. We did not evolve by accident or chance. And the good news is the Lord wants to remake us because man ruined God's original creation, didn't man? And our bodies ever since then have been falling apart. They've been devolving. They've not been evolving. But the good news is we can be remade. We are going to have new bodies someday. Won't that be great? We'll all be skinny. All of us will have our hair again, right? But we can't have a new body unless we're born again. If there's anybody here who's not yet been born again, please, we hope and pray that you will not go home today until you talk to one of us. We would be thrilled from God's word to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We would be thrilled to share how a person can know they have eternal life. We would be thrilled to explain how a person can live forever with a new body by trusting in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Most of us, we are born again, aren't we? Most of us, we have turned to Christ. Most of us, we've confessed our sins. We've repented of our sins. We've asked forgiveness of our sins. We've asked Christ to be our Savior. But as the song goes, we've only just begun. After we have become born-again Christians, after we become children of God, it's time to love and serve our God, right? In a great church just like this one here. And one day, if we'll do that, hopefully the Lord will say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well, obviously, as you know, we could go on and on, but some of you want to go home and eat. I can appreciate that. If you would please stand, I'll close in prayer and then turn the services back over to your leadership for them to close as they see fit. We do want to thank you for coming here today. If you have any questions or comments, I'll be over in the resource area. I would be more than happy to talk with you. Let's pray, shall we? Our God, we thank you so much for this church. We thank you for its people. We thank you for its leadership. We thank you for its testimony. We thank you for everybody here with us today. And we do hope and pray if we have anybody here, especially a visitor, that's not yet turned to Christ and been born again, that today would be that time. We pray that everybody here is born again, that everybody here will get a new body someday. We pray that for those of us who are born again, that we will make you proud, that you did make us, you do love us, and you've got a great plan for us. We pray that this week that we will make you proud by sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, how the Creator wants to be our Savior and make us all they were meant to be. And we just thank you for all this. In the name of our Lord and Savior and Creator, Jesus Christ, amen.